Welcome to Beyond the Arc. I'm Phil Nasons. He's Kevin Light. And we're here to talk Memphis Grizzlies basketball. What's happening, dude?
Whole lot of nothing, man. I'm plunging into the offseason with reckless abandon.
Okay, and what does that mean to you exactly?
It means I have not watched an entire playoff game since the Grizzlies season ended. I will probably watch some up in the next few weeks once the conference finals get going for real. I'm taking a mental vacation from watching and keeping up with what's going on with the NBA.
Ah, you're a lucky guy. I still have a few more weeks left, and it's okay. Then I have 7 weeks off, and I'm really happy and excited about that. James Harden, did you catch that act in Game 6 against the San Antonio Spurs minus Kawhi Leonard?
I was working. I thought the Rockets were going to win that game, and I was working on some stuff in our kitchen. I was like putting in a new faucet and stuff. And so I was just like kind of walking past the TV every now and then, and I would look at the score. And I walked in there and saw the Spurs were up by like 30, and I was just shocked because I really thought the Rockets were going to win that game and force a game 7. And not so much.
Not so much at all. I bet on the Spurs that night. And the reason I did it is, one, they were an underdog on the road, which is fine. Normally that would be the case whether Kawhi Leonard was playing or not. But usually when a team loses its star and they know it, some guys will step up. Now, I didn't expect LaMarcus Aldridge to step up the way he did, because he hasn't stepped up in so long that he probably needs a stepladder if he ever has to do it again. But I figured that they might win. And I also kind of thought, and I know this is going to sound like hindsight, but I also kind of expected James Harden to choke, to gag, to do what he did. And he did. And not to that extent, I didn't think. But I expected one of those 7-for-30 performances or something like that. And
yeah.
People are out there talking about him like that he was concussed.
Is that the word for hungover these days?
Well, whatever. Yeah, there you go. That's exactly. You know what? Exactly. I am so fed up with people making excuses. Here's the deal. The CBA being such and being as it is, Mike D'Antoni being as who he is, and he is probably one of the most player-friendly coaches in the NBA. They love playing for him. Well, most people do.
Yeah. Yeah, that Lakers stop. I mean, you talk to anybody who's played for him. I've talked to Zach Randolph about it. Zach Randolph loves Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course he does. Kobe Bryant does, too. But Kobe didn't really play for him, but Kobe liked him. Who else? You know why? I talked to several Knicks guys who loved Mike D'Antoni. They say he's one of the nicest, most genuine human beings in the world who actually cares about them.
Yeah.
He's, in a lot of ways, he's like Coach Popovich. If he thinks that you're hurt or something's wrong with you that could impair the rest of your life, you're going to sit your butt down until you can prove otherwise.
Yeah, he's just got such a reputation for with players for being a good guy to play for. But he's kind of like the mad scientist version of Popovich, right?
I can't remember
who said this about D'Antoni, but it's like D'Antoni, you know, with the Spurs, they're going to turn you into the player they need you to be to fill their spot. But with D'Antoni, like, he's going to turn you into the maximum version of yourself. And so if you have weaknesses, like, they're going to come out. If you have strengths, like, you're going to play to your strengths 100%. And that's what we've seen with this Rockets team. I didn't expect them to be as good as they were this year. But I did think the Spurs were going to win that series. And I didn't think that until probably about game 3. When the Spurs came out of the Grizzlies series, I didn't think they were playing that well. You know, they had relied so much on Kawhi, and I didn't know if that would work against the Rockets. But really what we learned about in the Spurs-Rockets series is that the Grizzlies were probably better than we thought they were, right? They ultimately pushed the Spurs every bit as hard as the Rockets did and made them have to deliver. You know, if Kawhi had been injured in the Spurs series, the Grizzlies probably would have won the series.
Right, that's true.
So,
that's a good point.
I think it's really interesting because it took LaMarcus Aldridge showing up. But, you know, I think Zach Randolph, Mark Gasol, and the rest of the Grizzlies bigs were a big reason why my Alders didn't show up in the Grizzlies series. I mean, he couldn't.
Well, that makes sense, yeah.
You know, to me, I think the takeaway from Spurs-Rockets, number one, yeah, the Rockets need to come back next year with a little bit more mental togetherness there, because they totally just wet the bed. But you know, number two, I think the Grizzlies... I think the Grizzlies would have beaten the Rockets. If the Grizzlies had won like three more games in the regular season and gotten up to the sixth seed, I think they would have beaten the Rockets.
Maybe we can blame that on Mark Gasol and his lackadaisical play at times. I think it's fair to blame him, because it's not fair to blame Chandler Parsons. It's not his fault. Why would he want – you know what? I think I told you this off the air once. Look at the way he runs. He tiptoes because he's afraid to get hurt. He's afraid to get – injured again, because he doesn't want to be a cripple when he's 40 years old, because he likes to hang out with the young girls and do his thing. He don't want to be using a cane.
Yeah, you know,
he knows it too. That's why he signed that contract. But I wonder how much due diligence was done before that ink got dry.
Yeah, that's going to be the big question that haunts the Grizzlies for the next 5 years. Is like, you know, what did they know about Parsons? How bad did they think the injury was? What was their evaluation of the knee situation? And then why did they go forward with it? How bad was that assessment? You know, one thing with the Grizzlies is they brought in a new training staff this summer. And, you know, I have to wonder, like, did the new training staff or the old training staff look at Parsons? Because if it was that old one, you fired him, right? I think it's pretty interesting to think about that. And just, you know, I want to know what they thought going into the deal, what they expected when he signed that piece of paper. What did they think was going to happen in training camp? Did they think he was going to be ready? Did they think he was going to be 100%? Did they know it was going to take him some time to get back on the court? What was their internal estimate? What did they think internally? And is that how it played out? I mean, obviously, I don't think it is this year. But, you know, before that earlier bone bruise injury, was he on track then? Because it didn't seem like he was. So, like, who knew what and when? The classic investigation questions, I guess.
We need to call Sherlock Holmes and get this sorted. We're never going to know, really. But at the end of the day, it's pretty obvious something happened because, well, he's not Memphis enough, maybe. Or, you know what, I read this week that he doesn't spend enough time in Memphis, and he's not doing his rehabbing, and that's probably one of the reasons he's one of the most disliked players in Grizzly history. But I have to ask this. Is it fair for him to be disliked?
I think it's fair for him to be disliked. I don't think those reasons have anything to do with it. Marc Gasol has been in Barcelona since probably the day after the season ended, and he won't be back until July.
Right.
Actually, it's Eurobasket year, so he's probably not coming back.
No, not at all.
Mike Conley just posted a picture playing golf with Justin Timberlake in New York.
Right.
I don't understand why we have these weird ideas about Chandler Parsons and where he needs to rehab. He needs to rehab at the place where his knee is going to get better. You know, he's got $100 million and whatever the most expensive, best knee clinic in the world, that's where he needs to rehab, not Memphis, Tennessee, if that's not where that place is.
You're describing heaven, because that's the only place miracles happen.
Well, but seriously, like, why, if he's got his own setup in LA, and we know he's an LA guy, like he's kind of based out of LA in the off season. Why would he be here? Like, what good would that do? So you could see him walking down the street and say, "Hey, Chandler Parsons." It's not like he's going to talk to you anyway.
Right. Exactly.
That's a very weird argument. I mean, I think it's fair to dislike him, but at the same time, I think he just kind of miscalculated on his PR stuff. I don't think he's very smart.
Well, he went to Florida. That says it all right there. He played for Billy Donovan, for goodness sakes.
You know, I was kind of trying to keep Florida out of it, but
well, you think he would have got smart there? He spent enough time there.
The thing is, yeah, I think he really miscalculated with his PR because he was here. He was trying to come back from an injury. These guys read everything. He's got to know. Maybe he doesn't, but everybody else in the NBA I've talked to reads everything.
Oh, yes.
He's got to know that people are unhappy with how long it's taking him, and that he's got to feel that. He's got to feel that pressure in his locker room. And so then for him to kind of do his whole, like, hey, I'm going to Cancun for the week with all these girls I met on Instagram or whatever.
Kate,
like,
yeah, that was dude.
He just miscalculated his PR. Like, what? If you know that people are mad that you're playing badly, you know, go on your trip to Cancun and do whatever you want. But, like, maybe don't post the picture in front of the plane with all your Chancun hats. It's just dumb. It's just dumb PR. Like, if people are already mad at you, don't give them another reason. I mean, and that's basically what he did. I don't doubt that from everything I heard, he was like working out 3 hours a day on that trip. But, you know, just the messaging, I don't have a problem with him going on a vacation. Everybody else in the NBA goes on a vacation during the All-Star break. But just be smart about your messaging. And then stuff like, you know, having some 19-year-old TV star show up in Memphis at a game courtside and like while you're sitting on the bench. You know, he's not very smart about how he portrays himself and about how, you know, how it looks. And so I think it's totally fair to dislike him because he looks like a big dummy, honestly,
yeah,
by the way. He just hasn't really handled the messaging. I think it's fair that he missed the exit interviews because of rehab or whatever, but that's also kind of weak. Like, he didn't go to game six. He didn't come to the exit interviews. You just show your face. So that part of it, I see the Memphis. He's not in Memphis enough. I do think he probably should have showed up for the exit interviews, but I don't think he should like stay here this summer and work out. I think he should go wherever he wants to go. It's complicated, right? On the one hand, it's hard to be mad at a guy for being hurt because that part of it is not really his fault. And honestly, you know, if the Grizzlies offered me $100 million deal, I'd sign it too. I can't even play basketball. You know, it's
well,
a guaranteed
can he
$100 million.
Anymore.
Yeah, well, that's why you don't offer him a guaranteed $100 million contract. You know, that's on the Grizzlies.
Yeah,
and I'll always take the side of the worker in those kind of disputes.
Absolutely. You know, when I was a kid, Kevin, Reggie Jackson signed with the New York Yankees. At that time, it was like for $1 million a year, $1.7 million something. I asked my grandfather. I said, "How is it possible that Reggie Jackson, and I hate the Yankees anyway, how can he get $101.7 million or whatever it was?" My grandfather says, "You know what? He is what they're willing to pay him. He didn't hold a gun to anybody's head." And that's when I learned, stick up for the workers, always. If the boss wants to pay you the money, then obviously he can. Otherwise, he wouldn't. So end of the discussion. But here's what I think. I think Chandler Parsons actually likes people to know that he's squaring around Kate Beckinsale too, man. Wow, I didn't even know that until I read this thing.
Yeah.
I had no idea. You know, at the end of the day, I think he likes the people to know that stuff.
Oh, of course he does.
I think it helps him too in his other pursuits because the girls will say, well, she was with him. And I think it helps.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that he's got $100 million of Memphis Grizzly money that he didn't really earn.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's on him to prove that like he cares about the basketball part of it too. Like we know where he stands on like social media and girls.
He's an ace, dude.
Yeah, he's definitely a max player on in that sport. But you know, he's got to prove that he's a max player in basketball, and I don't know that he can do it. You know, I think Vince Carter in exit interviews was kind of talking about this a little bit. And was talking about how he had been talking to Chandler some, you know, because it was obvious from the way that he was playing that he was just mentally, he wasn't there, right? He was worried about getting hurt. He wasn't taking shots. You could tell he was very frustrated by his own performance. And there comes a point where you get so frustrated that you just make yourself worse, right?
Right.
And Vince was saying he talked to Chandler and was just kind of telling him like, you know, this is a really long thing and this is a really hard thing. And you need to make sure that when you come back, like when you're healthy, that it's not just your knee that's healthy, like that you are good to go mentally. Like, you need to take this time while you're working on your knee and work on the rest of yourself too, so that when you come back, you're in the right spot. And you know, from a guy who's played in the league 20 years or whatever, I would hope that hearing that from Vince Carter of all people would get through to him. But he definitely, I think he's just got to prove that he's actually putting in the work. He's never been known to be a hardworking guy or a gym rat or anything like that. And it just remains to be seen what he's going to do.
Well, he's going to square around girls like Kate Beckinsale. And that's his thing, because he's got $100 million guaranteed. Plus, he's got an insurance policy. You can bet on that. And anyway, I don't see why people dislike him for that. If anybody has to draw your ire, it should be the person who signed him in the first place. You should be really ticked at him.
Yeah. The person who should take the fall for it is definitely, how much of the decision was actually his or not, it falls on Chris Wallace. Ultimately, he's the general manager of the team. He made this big bet on Chandler Parsons. It's his name on all that paperwork. And when it goes south, he's the guy, he's the guy who might need to be kicked to the curb over it. I think if you're looking at the Grizzlies, they've made some really smart moves with the little deals, and they've really kind of missed on some of the big ones. And ultimately, that's why they're in the position they're in. You know, they didn't get a very good haul for Rudy Gay. They definitely didn't do right in the Jeff Green deal. Ultimately, Chris Wallace is the only guy you can really hold accountable for all of it, because he's the general manager of the Grizzlies. So, it's on him.
And I'm sure he's the one who gave Chandler Parsons permission to miss the exit interviews, I think, right?
Yeah, probably, or the media relations guys or whatever.
Somebody
if he's out of town, somebody did.
If he was told to be there, I guarantee you he'd have been there. He's not. He's obviously not playing for his money, but he's going to do at least a few things.
Yeah.
So I think he had permission to skip that exit interview. What are you going to ask him anyway? I mean, seriously, what do you ask a guy who you already know is frustrated, if he is? Everyone in the world in Memphis, anyway, is frustrated with him. What are you going to ask him? How was the season going? How is your rehab going? What do you think he's going to say? Everything's fine.
Yeah. I think it would have been interesting to hear from him to talk about the frustration of the season, just in terms of, I would have liked to have asked him, could you tell when you were out there that you were passing up shots? How mentally, what was that like to be out there and just know that you weren't in the game, I would have liked to have heard him talk about that a little bit. And it's just to hear about the rehab from him, because if maybe he slips up and lets something out that he shouldn't about timetable or something like that. I think it would have been valuable to have him there, but I certainly understand why they didn't. And definitely if he's out there working on rehab with a good knee doctor, don't interrupt that, because that's really what you're paying him for.
Well,
you're not paying him to talk to me.
That's exactly right. Watching Kawhi Leonard go down yesterday, I bet you Chandler Parsons worries about that too. I was listening to Sam Mitchell today on Sirius, and he said, I played 17 years in the NBA, and I never one time when I went up for a jump shot worried about where I was going to land, because nobody went underneath me. Zaza Pachulia tried to contest a three-pointer yesterday on one of Kawhi Leonard's fadeaways. They were losing by 23 at the time. And Kawhi Leonard came down on his ankle or on his foot and sprained his ankle. Do you think maybe that's what has to do with all this? He's afraid, he being Chandler Parsons. He's just afraid that he'd get hurt again. So he wants to walk when he's 40.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that that's part of it at all. I think you could see it. He just looked so timid and so unsure of himself.
He was tiptoeing out there, Kevin.
Yeah. And moves that he can do, just like standard basketball moves, he wasn't doing them. He wasn't shooting the ball. We can talk all day about whether that Pachulia thing was intentional. I think that's like the Bruce Bowen thing that has spread through the league like a virus.
We forget that. But the thing is that with Chandler Parsons, though, you see these things. It's hard to dislike a guy who was hired by someone else – to do a job now if Chandler Parsons knew that he wasn't going to be able to do these things. Then, you know what? There'd be real reason to dislike him.
Yeah.
But if he thought that for a second, if he was being legit with these folks and they signed him anyway, you're going to reason to dislike him.
Yeah, and I have to think that my hope is, anyway, that both teams went into this season knowing that he was not going to be right for the whole year. You know, like, not necessarily that it was going to go the way it did and he was going to, you know, barely play and then be out again. But I have to think that they went into it knowing that the first year of this deal is going to be the rehab year. You know, it just doesn't make any sense if you're signing him to play immediately like that. So, you know, until we find out, and I will never find out in a way that we can actually report on. ask me this question when the podcast ends.
Right.
We'll never find out in a way that we can actually report on, like, what Parsons knew about how bad his year was going to be, how bad his knee was going to be, how long it was going to take him. But, yeah, regardless, I mean, unless you can prove that he lied to the Grizzlies about it, it's still not on him, you know? If he didn't think he was going to be able to do it and he said, no, I don't know, and they signed him anyway, that's still on Chris Wallace.
Oh, yeah. So I don't get all the dislike, and we talked about this a long time ago about whether he was in Memphis enough. You know what? This is a situation that's very difficult. I mean, he's a young dude, and he didn't hold a gun to anybody's head to sign that paycheck or to get that contract signed. So it's a crazy thing. And, you know, well, people have to write something in May.
yeah. You got to hit those post per day numbers. I have been ignoring mine, but I won't be able to do it for much longer.
Right. Well, we still hit this every week, so this is a good thing. We'll have to do another one of those reply alls or something.
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
Whatever. I mean, I'm in. But the thing is that we have these issues, and I don't care anymore. You all know what I think about the deal and what's going to happen, but I hope for his sake that he's able to play, and I hope that his tenure doesn't go down as he's one of the most disliked, maybe not the smartest, but dislike him because he's just a young guy who's not much, very sensible when it comes to social things.
Yeah.
I don't think you can dislike him for that.
No, I don't know who the most dislikable Grizzly of all time would be. It's not even close to being Chandler Parsons.
Would it be Mayo?
No, man. No, but that's fighting words. OJ Mayo is actually the only Grizzlies player whose jersey I have actually purchased with my own money.
I'm just asking. I'm not I don't dislike any of them, really. I guess, who would it be if there was a player?
It's honestly, there is still there are still a large percentage of Grizzlies fans who harbor some ill will for Pau Gasol for the way he forced his way out.
Right. Okay. That's fair. And what about Rudy Gay?
That's kind of it. People talk about Rudy, but, you know, I think Rudy was really just kind of unfortunate. Kind of a victim, right? I mean, we're coming back to the blame the management, not the workers.
Right.
Rudy Gay was on way too big of a contract,
right? Of course,
and for what his skill set was, and he also wasn't coached well for what his skill set was. Lionel was just throwing him out there for 40 minutes and telling him to hit some shots. you know, he was not being used in a way that fits his skill set, and that was really kind of before the league had really bought in on going small. And I think Rudy Gay as a small ball four is extremely exciting, and could be great. But you know, he's just as an isolation jump shooter, like he never needed to be used that way. But he's good enough that he was able to get 20 points a night playing that way. It just broke everything else. So, I think he just kind of, you know, he and the Grizzlies kind of outgrew each other. He wasn't being used in the best way, but also they just didn't need him anymore. They had Zach Randolph, they had Marc Gasol. You know, guys who were kind of scoring options over him. So I think if people want to be mad about Rudy Gay or whatever, that's just, that's revisionism. He was good for the Grizzlies for what he was, and he was not being used well.
That's true. If there was somebody I disliked, I guess it would be Dave Yeager.
Yeah, well, he's not a player,
but he's a part of the Grizzlies.
He definitely earned some of that for sure.
He earned most of it. Lionel Hollins, you have any ill will toward him?
Not really. I don't think he's a great guy. But he's, you know, I think he's a good coach. I think he's, I think he was definitely the right coach for the Grizzlies at the time they had him. And I think he did a good job within that framework. I don't think he did anything to earn being disliked. I mean, the most memorable thing he did that was kind of negative was the champagne taste on a beer budget thing. But right, I think he just kind of didn't know how that was going to go over. And he also just, he says what he's thinking, and that's what he was thinking. So, you know, he was dealing with a front office that didn't hire him and was making noise like they weren't going to bring him back, and then ultimately didn't. And, you know, later it kind of turned out, yeah, Dave Yeager was trying to get his job that whole last year.
Dave Yeager's a snake, man. I'm sorry, but he just is. Well, you know, smarmy guy.
I think Lionel just felt like he was being pushed out anyway, and he wasn't wrong. So it's hard to dislike him for that. I don't think he's dislikable. It comes back to Powell. Powell's really the only guy who was like openly pouting and pushing for a trade publicly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of wild though that the Grizzlies ended up with probably someone who's going to have his jersey retired as a Grizzly, Marc Gasol. That is, if he doesn't get traded to the New York Knicks. I heard that. You know, I heard this. I read it. Maybe the source wasn't that credible. Maybe it was just one of those, like I do on Fridays over at Peachtree Hoops. I got the thing. It said Kristaps Porzingis and Carmelo Anthony and Courtney Lee for Marc Gasol and Troy Daniels.
Huh. I'd probably do that and then release Melo.
You could do that. You would keep Melo, though. I bet you
Carmelo would actually be really good on this team.
Carmelo and Fizdale would work out well together, I think. I think Fizdale is the type of guy who is going to get the most out of anybody.
Yeah, I think so too. And I've always kind of coveted Carmelo Anthony to play, you know, like I was saying about Rudy, same kind of guy. He can play the three or the four. You can use him more effectively as a four. I'd take him.
Yeah. I don't think this is a nice trade for the Knicks. Although they do get Marc Gasol, that'd be kind of cool. But I don't think that's a very good trade for the Knicks.
Who runs the Knicks? Do they know how to make good trades?
He doesn't know how to do anything good. Except he even messed up with Jeannie Buss, man. How do you do that? I mean, I don't get Phil Jackson anymore. I never did, really. But that trade right there, if that happened, Kristaps Porzingis would be the future for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Kristaps Porzingis would be Memphis, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he's 3-6 Latvia.
He's the man, telling you. He knows where to go. I guarantee you they'll have more Latvians. You'll be surprised how many Latvians actually live in Memphis or move there.
I was about to say, they may have to move here. I don't know of any.
Well, let me tell you, Kristaps Porzingis, he has his own little community in New York, and I'm sure he'll just bring the party with him. He's quite the kid, man. I like him a lot. He'd be great. You would love to interview him. He's just very open. He skipped the exit interview, too, but for a different reason than Chandler Parsons did.
I was about to say, he didn't exactly have a rehab excuse.
He had, you know what he did? You know what happened? He told him to go kick rocks.
Yeah.
He was fed up with Phil Jackson and fed up with Jeff Hornacek and fed up with the whole thing. He really looks up to Carmelo Anthony. And I will say this, Carmelo looks after him.
Yeah.
On the court, anybody who even tries to mess with him, he's over there first. You don't fool with him. He likes that kid, and the kid likes him. So when all that nonsense about trading Melo happened, Kristaps got angry, and he didn't play much at the end of the season either. So I don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, that's Jeff Hornacek is interesting. I think he's a really good coach. I think. Anybody who coaches in New York, I don't know why you hire a good coach when you're just going to make him run the triangle. What a waste of talent. But I guess he's drawing a paycheck, so he's employed. I don't understand that fit, because he did such good things with the Suns with that kind of spread pick and roll offense, and then you're taking him to New York and making him play something else.
And that would have been a perfect offense for the Knicks, because
absolutely, and even Derrick Rose would have done very, very well in that system.
He did all right You know what, though? It was a half triangle. They don't even know what they're doing. But now all of a sudden it's going to be a full triangle again. I don't know what's going to happen in New York. I guess I don't care anymore. It's just the circus. I'm interested to see what happens this summer for Memphis. I'm interested to see if they trademark us all. Really, I am.
Yeah, I still don't think it's likely. I still think they'll you know, if the Knicks call them about that trade, they'll definitely take the phone call and they'll talk about it. But I just ultimately, I think there's too much momentum. I don't think they'll do it.
Yeah, maybe not. All right, dude. This was a good show.
I think so. The Chandler Parsons show.
Again. I'm hoping that we don't have to, but I was just intrigued by the Kate Beckinsale thing more than anything.
You know, he probably was too.
I guarantee I would be. Anyway, Memphis Flyer presents the show as of today. Who knows? But for Kevin Leip, I'm Phil Nasons. Thanks for listening to Beyond the Arc.